episode 296.
Our technicians and the advisor on the inspection is the more photos that we take, I mean, it's a benefit for the customer, Carm, but it's also a benefit for the shop owner because you are protecting yourself. I mean, taking pictures of tires, so, and then documenting things, you know. So if that vehicle happens to leave and there's an accident, you've had that person sign off on it. It's documented. There's pictures to protect you from lawsuits and attorneys.
The other thing that we make our customers aware of is that we expect to do this 3 or 4 times a year. And the reason why we do that is that we can go ahead and take the information for your from your inspection today, and we can compare it over a period of time to not only see what's wearing, but predict the rate that it's wearing at, because we have a lot of customers that need to budget for future repairs. And that's really worked out good. And we tell them, said, this is just like what your dentist does when you go to the dentist's office. Basically, this is your condition today. When you come in the future, we're going to take that next set of x-rays. So now they've got something to compare at to predict what's going on.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Welcome, automotive aftermarket professionals, to episode 296 of Remarkable Results Radio. I was on the road for this interview in Santa Barbara, California, at the Auto Vitals Digital Shop Conference, and I've got a panel assembled here to talk the digital shop. A great discussion you'll want to hear. Hey, this episode is presented by Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Now, they are the reason you enjoy these enlightening aftermarket interviews. When you need innovation and quality, you need Federal Mogul Motor Parts. With brands like Moog, Felpro, Wagner Brake, Anco, Champion, Seal Power, FP Diesel, and more. They're the parts techs trust. Find out more at fmmotorparts.com, and thank you for supporting these Federal Mogul brands. Hey, it's always great to welcome new Facebook friends like Darren Barney, John Long, Chris Kern, Mark Norris, and Kevin Levy, along with new LinkedIn connections, Andy Silverman and Charles Burke. It's easy to connect with the podcast. Just go to remarkableresults.biz/social, and you'll find every link to get involved, including the free Aftermarket Insider newsletter and links to my iOS and Android listening app. Hey, now keep in mind that each week we host a live Town Hall Academy at 12 noon Eastern on Facebook. We take a single subject and assemble aftermarket professionals passionate to discuss the topic at hand. Now, there's no other resource like it in the industry. It is a great place to come for shared wisdom from your aftermarket colleagues. The link to the aftermarket content library is remarkableresults.biz/academy. Now, prepare for a discussion on the digital shop. I had the privilege to attend the Auto Vitals' first annual digital shop conference in beautiful Santa Barbara, California, in January 2018. Auto Vitals' CEO, Uwe Kleinschmidt, and his team were gracious hosts, and I had an opportunity to hang with shop owners and service advisors from all over North America that were all in different stages of implementing their digital system. Now, while attending panel discussions and workshops, I managed to get in some recording with the mobile studio, and this is the first release of those recordings. Now, if you're contemplating the future and know you'll need to get there, maybe sooner rather than later, this roundtable discussion is for you. As with every episode we produce for you, there are many important info points here to help guide you in this inevitable change to your business that will be as important as having lifts in your bays. You may not be ready to implement a total digital inspection CRM and workflow system, but still, you'll want to invest the time in this episode so you keep your learning curve high and hear from shop owners who have done it and are happy they did. Now, find the talking points for this episode at remarkableresults.biz/E296. Now, here's shop owner Joe Sievert from I-70 Auto Service from Kansas City, Missouri, Bill Connor, the general manager from Craig's Auto Care in Allen, Texas, and Auto Vitals CEO Uwe Kleinschmidt. A warm welcome to Joe Sievert, Bill Connor, and Uwe Kleinschmidt. I am here in Santa Barbara. Wow, what a beautiful place. Come from the Northeast, of course, it's so cold, and to see the beautiful sun, and we're by the shores of the Pacific Ocean. Uwe, thanks for the invitation. It's great. You've got a great digital conference here for shop owners. I've met so many great people, and I'm walking away with really a confidence in the digital realm where people need to go. But at the same time, I've heard everyone working in, if you will, networking and at these different breakouts about the great challenges that are going on. So I guess the biggest thing that I want you all to contribute, because obviously, Uwe, it's your product, but Bill, what a big adapter, Bill. I mean, when I heard you on the breakout panel yesterday morning, and I'm sitting here thinking, you took something and you made it your own. You really, you adopted this product, and I know you've got a bunch of different elements inside the product, but you took it to a level that I've never seen. What was the biggest obstacle you had in implementation?
Well, for me, the biggest obstacle I had was that there wasn't a product in the marketplace to do what I needed. So I actually went down this path out of necessity, because we're actually in two different buildings, and to go ahead and go from the back shop into the office is a minimum of 77 steps in each direction. So I did this specifically to go ahead and save the time and energy and time that was wasted going back and forth between the shops. A lot of the stuff that I thought was going to be a problem turned out not to be such a problem. And when we implemented in the shop, the first thing I did was introduce the concept to the technician I thought was going to be the hardest one to go ahead and get on board. And when I introduced the shop, basically I'm interested in explaining to everybody in the shop what's in it for them. So I didn't know what was going to be in it for this particular technician, but when we got and introduced him to the tablet, and he's not a person that, you know, can write very good, his handwriting's poor, his grammar and spelling is bad. So as soon as I went ahead and introduced him to the voice to text, where he could just go out to the tablet, press a button and talk to it and have it spell everything out perfectly and so on, he just basically said, "I'm good, and let's just move on with it."
You've really taken us from, you know, instant idea to the challenge that you have today. But why digital? Why do shop owners today? Joe, how long have you implemented?
How long? 4 years.
4 years. So why 4 years ago did you feel that you had to become a digital shop when it came to inspections, customer interactions?
I believe Carmit's the best thing for the customer. We run our business all about the customer. And in order to give them the best product, I mean, and our best service, this is a big part of it. Quite a few of our Google reviews in these last years have commented about the inspection process. So you know it works. We've had people come from different parts of the country, even here in the San Francisco Bay Area, that have been at Mercedes and BMW dealerships and never seen anything like this. So,
how did it all start, Uwe?
How it all started was, you know, talks to shop owners. At that time, the Facebook forum didn't exist, so I was on the phone a lot. And we were in I spent a lot of time watching service advisors, how they do the work. And what for me as a consumer, who is what you consider a digital immigrant, right? So I didn't grow up with the smartphone in the cradle, but I want to utilize this as much as possible. I saw a huge opportunity to help service advisors educating customers. Because honestly, without the visual, there's a lot of hand waving going on the phone, and if that is done in a time pressure situation, it can turn into a sales pressure situation. Whereas nowadays, everybody working with a smartphone, making decisions every day, whether it's buying something on Amazon or finding the place you want to go, is just incredible. So at that time, I thought, if we can. We started actually with a very interesting digital inspection tool, which was take your smartphone, take a picture, enter the license plate, and text it to a fixed email address, and then we just attach it to the estimate. That was our first digital inspection program in 2013, because it was already clear visuals are going to help the service advisor educate the customer on why.
And that's back in the picture days.
And that was pictures only, like I said, 2013. And then we met a few shop owners who tried to do inspections differently and so on and so forth. And then the big challenge for us was, and it's a super story in hindsight, NAPA was looking for a digital inspection program, and I heard about it at an ATI conference. And then we got late to the game. There were already 14 vendors who were bidding for the NAPA DVI. And what NAPA is awesome at, the NAPA council members are involved in a lot of decisions, and the NAPA council members tested the different softwares, right? And we got feedback, and it was the following feedback. And it represents really what's going on in the transition in the industry. Half of them said, best thing since sliced bread. I already sold a $3,000 job using it. And the other half said, I don't know how to hold the tablet. It's so different than paper. So we were in this situation. What are we going to do now? So within three weeks, we re-implemented the whole digital user interface on the tablet, so it looks closer to paper, so the transition phase for the tech is not as big. And so the feedback was, you know, that you listen to us and just implemented it in that time, it's worth doing.
If it was 10 years down the road, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
That's true.
We're almost still, Joe, Bill, in an infancy of adopting digital tablets into our bays. Pushback from technicians in your early days of implementation, was it your biggest struggle?
In our case, it really wasn't much of a struggle, because I always go from the approach of, you know, explaining to them what's in it for them on each process, and if we could do that. And the other thing is that even when I talk to shop owners today, is that show no fear, because any kind of pushback you get from the technicians, if you give them any inkling at all that this is something that's optional, then it becomes a problem.
And what I learned from you yesterday is that you listened to your techs and you helped create more switches, if you will, on-off switches, yes or no's, than having people write and type. And when I saw how many different inspection forms you have, and it's almost like, Joe, has your team ever come to you and said, hey, we need an inspection form for how to do a load test?
Oh, yeah. They're always giving us input on what they want. So we're always adding more to it and adding more to our courtesy inspection, which is already at 90 points.
90 points of courtesy inspection. Is it free?
It is free.
You said yesterday, oh, gosh, Bill, I had it written down here somewhere, what you called it. You called it basic vehicle health inspection.
Correct. We have a inspection we do on every vehicle that's called a vehicle health inspection, and we use that, you know, to educate our customers. And the way we explain that to them is that we're going to be doing this on your vehicle today. It's going to give you a good overall snapshot of the condition of your vehicle. So if you have to make an investment in it, at least you know it's a good solid platform. The other thing that we make our customers aware of is that we expect to do this 3 or 4 times a year. And the reason why we do that is that we can go ahead and take the information from your inspection today, and we can compare it over a period of time to not only see what's wearing, but predict the rate that it's wearing at, because we have a lot of customers that need to budget for future repairs. And that's really worked out good. And we tell them, said, this is just like what your dentist does when you go to the dentist's office. Basically, this is your condition today. When you come in the future, we're going to take that next set of x-rays. So now they've got something to compare at to predict what's going on.
You've always counted on Moog to keep you ahead of the pack when it comes to chassis innovation. Well, they've done it again. Most recently launched is the Moog ball joint with a pre-installed integral dust boot. It's designed exclusively for compression-loaded suspension systems, providing superior strength and durability for these types of vehicle applications. The dust boot is made from higher-strength materials and comes pre-installed, saving you time because it's easier to install. It also has a larger contact area against the stud, which makes a more effective seal. For your customers, the unit uses Moog's powdered metal gusher bearing that provides longer life and controlled radial and axial movement. You get the industry's leading coverage of 10,000 SKUs, including 4,600 for foreign applications. Hey, you've been installing Moog confidently for years, and now you know why. Brake jobs are a staple component of all successful shops, and getting the brake job right helps build a quality reputation for any shop. When the best is called for and stopping distance, rotor wear, and pad life are important to every shop and its customers, Wagner OEX brake pads are your only choice. Based on benchmark testing conducted by Link Engineering Company, Wagner OEX pads can stop a pickup, SUV, or CUV up to 50 feet sooner. Based on internal testing comparing new Wagner OEX to other Wagner offerings, the unique design of Wagner OEX increases pad life up to 2 times longer. The customized shape and slot design of each of the more than 114 SKUs creates a turbulent airflow that allows for cooler operation and improved stopping power for the vehicle on which it was designed. Wagner OEX cover 95% of the U.S. market of pickups, SUVs, and CUVs. Wagner has the science behind stopping perfected. They conduct 13,000 critical tests each year, and as of today, have 258 issued patents with 68 patents pending. Wagner has earned their stripes. Now they want to earn yours. Install Wagner OEX, the customized brake pad that can stop your customer's truck up to 50 feet sooner.
Any fallout, Bill or Joe, from the implementation process, from having, did you lose anybody because they were so headstrong? This wasn't going to be part of their job.
I haven't lost anybody through this being something that they couldn't adapt to. So one of the things that we actually discovered is bringing new techs on, it was a little bit different to them because they haven't experienced a paperless shop, so to say. So we had to go ahead and do things a little bit differently. And I found that by introducing them to our whole entire workflow process of taking their daily goal of hours that they want to bill and having it available where the service writer can go in and see it, first of all, and then the service writer's job is to go ahead and get that many approved hours in their bucket, and for them to go ahead and be efficient at what they're doing, for them to go ahead and understand that we actually had a process in our shop in place to go ahead and understand their goals and help them obtain it and help keep them on target all the time. They really hadn't experienced that anywhere else, so that became a good tool.
You talked to me about hand-holding, mentoring. You've got other techs helping get the new tech engaged.
So we have, you know, our techs in our shop that have been doing things for a long time, but I've actually approached it a little bit differently in our shop. We have a full process we use for onboarding employees, especially technicians, so to say, and that is that we have a video that they watch along with a workbook to go ahead and understand how to use the tool properly and why it's used that way. And then I went a little bit further than that to go ahead and make sure that we've built consistency in everything we do, and that if a technician or employee improvises, that we can get them back on target. So what I've done is I've created some videos that I actually embed into the tablet on one of the topics on it, and the technician can go ahead and actually play through that video and tap a button, and then we get a message in the front office so we can see that they've viewed it and they understand it and they agree with it.
I can't help but think, Uwe, you know, everything that Bill says and Joe says, when you say the words the digital shop, this is the digital shop. I can't describe what you do as anything different. And I heard you talk yesterday about the videos and the switches you've turned on. Do you guys go to you and say, there's more we can do? We've got to keep embracing it and building more tools, more videos, more switches, more processes. Are they as on board the digital shop as you?
I would say in our shop, yes, they are. And if they're not in the rest of the marketplace, they will be eventually. What they discover is that if they have a need to do things more than once on the tablet, rather than typing it out over and over again, they can go ahead and request to have it added instantly to the tablet and have it available right then.
So you're constantly looking at ways to make it better and improve it.
This is the first tool that we've had that's as dynamic as the industry, I guess is what I would say.
And when I think of the word paperless, you know, it's not paperless where the customer gets a receipt in email. It's inspection forms are gone. It's the communication between the shop and the service writer. It's the information that goes to the customer for approval. It's fascinating to see that.
And it's metrics for the business.
can't imagine all you could collect underneath the covers.
But we don't really want to do this underneath the covers. It should be transparent to everybody what's going on. And after a first transition phase where they're watching me now even more closely, it turns into thank you, because now consistency, as Bill pointed out, is all of a sudden increasing morale, because individual incidents don't determine anymore what people think about each other. It's now transparent whatever you do during the day. And if you say, we as a team, we increase picture count, we as a team do X, Y, Z, all of a sudden people know it can be, they're accountable for what they do, and it can be measured. So that's not in the old days where you have somebody watching over your shoulder and then point out what you're doing wrong, right? Those times are gone.
I was shocked by a stat that I heard, I think maybe you yesterday and Frank say again today, Frank Scandura. 66% of all findings from the technician are not sold. Wow, I did all this stuff. I found all that out, and we didn't do a good job of convincing the customer. Now, I get it. Budgeting, you know, is the car really, you know, worth saving? There's an awful lot. But when a shop owner sees that stat and agree, whatever's going on in his world, oh my God, it's 66% for us too, does he see that as a huge opportunity? And do you see people that are embedded into digital start turning that number around?
Oh yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, it has many reasons, and it sounds like we're all now blaming it on the service advisor not doing their job, but it's not. It's just the end result. Service advisors are superheroes in my book. The interrupt-driven work they have to do every day and be have everything in their head ready, phone calls from customers, parts guys calling, managing techs, right? I mean, big kudos. There's a lot of time spent on busy work in the paper environment, and the digital environment makes that a lot easier. That was also the reason why we went way beyond just digital inspections. We could have stopped at digital inspections. Now all of a sudden you have a tablet with only the inspection and still run around with a piece of paper for the repair order and have a paper rack and run back and forth to communicate, right? So we eliminated all that because we wanted to give the service advisor the time back, honestly, why they're hired for and why their job name is called service advisor. Because the 66% often come from the fact that when it gets busy, that's what they skip first, advising service. And the digital inspection process, the digital shop process, brings them back to what they enjoy doing.
Am I to understand that 66% is not declined work? It's that we never told them about it.
It's both. So there are many reasons. Technicians' findings don't make it to the estimate because the service advisor has a reason, legitimately or not. It's not my point to judge. And then sending an estimate and be ready to explain it with hand waving on the phone is difficult.
Is digital impersonal, Joe? Or does the service advisor work with the customer via the pictures and the report?
Yes. I mean, what we do there is we send ours out, and that way the customer can get back with us. We'll work with them. You know, Tyler, he works with them beforehand and explains how the process is going to work, you know, especially for our new customers.
I see. So the customer is realizing he's going to get a text.
Yep.
Or an email or text.
Both.
Doesn't matter, right?
Depending on what they want.
And that, listen, we're going to talk. I'm going to call you. I'm going to explain to you what you're seeing. Because you don't want that coldness to be there and says, am I supposed to press a button? What do I do? It's a lot of money. What does it really mean? So it's power. Digital can be cold, but you recommend it not be.
You're
it's
educating.
Transparency, right? That's, I mean, I wouldn't call it cold. It's transparency. And as the smartphone has conquered our world and anything can be looked up, this is just instead of looking up on Google what a timing belt is, you see your cracks in a timing belt on your car. I mean, that's just the best educational exercise you can get.
I got to jump to something that's been really bothering me is every time I've been seeing these presentations here in the last 2 days, and I see a picture of a timing belt with cracks in it. And you know how crazy the image of our industry is? It's not healthy. I mean, we've got great shops. They do honest work, integrity, big culture. It's important. But there's a lot of gray area out there. If I was a skeptical customer and I'd say, well, it's probably just a picture they had on file and that's really not my belt on my car. Didn't you say, Bill, that you helped by showing the picture of the vehicle and kind of where the video and it zoomed in so person was confident that that picture was really my car today?
Well, sure. And let me go ahead and expand on it a little bit differently. We know that in years past, a good service advisor is one that would go out and get involved with the process and understand it. A great one would be one that would take the customer out there to the side of the car and show them and build trust and so on at that point. So what we're doing is, in the digital world, we're recreating the same feeling that the customer would have at the side of the car with the technician and with the customer and the service rider all working together to do this explanation. Well, when that happened, the customer already knew it was their car. The technician was involved. They spent some time to do it. But they also knew that when they spent that time, it was almost 100% certainty that the customer is going to gain an approval. Now, today in the digital world, when we're using the tools we have as far as pictures, video, text, and so on, what we're doing is we're wanting the customer to have that same feeling. So I want them, when they're taking pictures, I want them to see it's the customer's car. I want them to get a little bit closer to see geographically where that component is located on the car, the complexity to repair, and so on. I want that whole story to be told so it's recreating the exact same thing as if we got the customer out to the car. And now, instead of only getting the customer out there once or twice when they're in, because customers, they don't hang around anymore. They got other things to do. Instead of only being able to get them in there every now and then, now we have the ability to do that on 100% of every repair orders that come in.
I love it. Love it. Joe, do your customers have to be tech savvy to appreciate this?
No, I don't believe so. You know, most people are receiving texts now, so it's pretty simple in texting that over. And, you know, you educate them prior on how this is, the process is going to work, you know. And we'll actually ask them, you know, what do you still prefer, text, email, or a phone call? You know, and we'll give them what they ask for.
Is the requirement from the tech to be sure they write a novel to the service advisor?
Not necessarily. They have to do what we've had to do for the last 50 years, concern, cause, and correction. And they've got to go ahead and, if they're taking a picture or video as an example, they have to go ahead and a brief explanation of what it is. So just to send a picture without saying what it is doesn't do really much good for the service rider or the customer. But if they take that same picture and add some text that this is your right front brake pads, linings or whatever, then, you know, it's kind of a slam dunk deal.
So it's the tech who's writing the note to the customer, not the service advisor.
The technician is writing the note to the customer, to the service writer, and then in our case, the service writer translates that into customer-friendly language, and then it goes to the customer.
Customer speak. So shop owners today who are saying, I don't want any part of this, I don't want to slow down, we're doing a little modified 10-point inspection for our customer, and it's the right thing to do, and we're selling from it, I don't want any part of this. But we know that, like all good new business models and where technology is heading, everyone, you're going to have a ton of new customers someday, Uwe, and all the guys that are out there doing digital. What's the story, Bill, when I say, this isn't for me, it slows me down, I'll never hire the right tech, my customers won't appreciate this, how the heck am I going to sell from this? Tell me how to think 5 years down the road.
With the complexity of today's vehicles, to go ahead and be able to explain these new systems and procedures and what it is to a customer, I don't believe there's going to be any other way that it can be done efficiently and consistently. So if they're not looking into this particular type of platform today, they're going to probably have some interesting problems.
So the time issue of how long it takes is just an excuse today, because that's how business needs to be done. Is this right, Joe?
I believe so. I mean, one of the things that we ask our technicians and the advisor on the inspection is the more photos that we take, I mean, it's a benefit for the customer, Carm, but it's also a benefit for the shop owner, because you are protecting yourself. I mean, taking pictures of tires, so, and then documenting things, you know. So if that vehicle happens to leave and there's an accident, you've had that person sign off on it, it's documented, there's pictures to protect you from lawsuits and attorneys.
You know, if there's one big takeaway from this interview, I think that could be it for anyone who may be resistant and hesitate. We're in this litigious society, right? Look at the Facebook forums and people, you know, reaching out and saying, you know, I had an oil pan that they claimed was loose and they sold the car. I mean, I saw one this morning and it went on and on and on. I started to realize, here I'm at a digital conference. Wow. And I'm thinking, if all of those pictures were done and they were done right, and or there was a pre-inspection on the used car done, it's all there. It's documented. It's almost cover your ass, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I mean, we really instill that with our staff, that this is the right thing to do for the customer, and it's the right thing to do for our business. And we've got 7 families to feed, and we want to protect it, and everybody loves the atmosphere that we have. And so we need you to protect us, because there's someone out there that would, I mean, an attorney that would like to get a piece of you at some point in time.
It's all about the customer to me. This is all about the customer and the relationship you have, and the trust and integrity done right. The customer probably loves your shop, Bill.
That's true. And the other thing we found that this particular process does is it creates word of mouth through other customers. So an example we get all the time is we send this report to somebody and they're at their work, and you can mentally see them with somebody hawking over their shoulder looking at this report saying, what is that? First of all, I've never seen that
before.
My
shop's better than your shop.
and then the next thing we get is phone call saying, I was looking over so-and-so's report, and I want one. You know, it's a beautiful thing. So it's a way to expand business, and it happens all the time.
You've got a 5-year into digital right now, digital vehicle inspections, and then I also know there's the workflow, the shop flow stuff. Uwe, where your software has really taken assignments. Give me a 4-sentence of what workflow is all about.
Service advisors need to be freed up from busy work. Managing a paper rack is a nightmare.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Running back and forth is lost time for both the techs and the service advisor. So the workflow in combination with the communication with the techs, we have included now vibration communication, cuts that all away.
DVI is just one element of the digital shop. You've got this great graphic, the 7 touch points of motorist engagement. And when I look at them, every shop needs to be involved in these touch points. First one, search and educate. I mean, is that basic? When you say search and educate, is that the customer doing their own research?
Yes. So when customers today, so Google shared with us at the SEMA show 4 years ago in a town hall meeting, a rare event when they open up with some numbers, which they normally don't do. And they shared with us, and I'm paraphrasing, 30 times more searches happen for parts and for educational content like check engine light than for shops. And my immediate reaction was, wow, that many do-it-yourselfers out there? And then, wait a second. No, it's motorists getting a second opinion. It's motorists who now use their smartphone much more easily accessible than the desktop to type out long sentences for search. It's not just auto repair, brake repair anymore. It's rattle underneath the dashboard. They have heard from somebody timing belt tensioner is a root cause for a lot of things. So they type in timing belt tensioner, not because they want to buy it. They just want to know
what
it is.
They want to know about it.
Right? And so since it's so accessible for us as consumers to educate ourselves, you have now the internet as a blessing, lots of information, and you have the internet as a curse, lots of information. The shop can now, with the help of the digital shop concept, be the arbiter and provide relevant information. Or in other words, we take the local trust and bring it to the web, right? Because businesses like Joe's and Bill's are known for their reputation, and we just take that, the educational power, to the web. And now you get educated online instead of being at the counter.
But search and educate, is that about managing SEO?
Yes. Like 30 times more searches for parts made us change our whole strategy for websites. Right, our websites in the meanwhile have, I don't know, 80 to 120 landing pages with specific videos and information, because we know there are many educational searches out there in addition to the traditional SEO strategy.
So then number two is drop off. And what I find interesting is I've done a bunch of interviews lately about the ease that it takes to close the transaction digitally. So the customer just goes and picks up his keys and doesn't necessarily have to be there for pickup. Happens to you much, Bill, at all?
We have some customers that drop off vehicles before hours, do all the transaction through the inspections and estimating and stuff over the phone or through text messaging. And they pay over the phone or through other means, and they pick up their cars after hours. So we go long periods of time sometimes without personal interaction.
And you couldn't do that as efficiently if you didn't have a system like this in place.
I don't believe we could do it at all. Basically, what we're interested in is controlling the whole message from the cradle to the grave, and in some cases reusing the message in multiple different places. So what I mean by that is we control the time of the message through the inspection sheets and the emails and text messages we send to them, and we control the message of where they're getting it from by having it in the inspection sheet with the pictures and videos, and having the videos actually in our own website, so that way if a customer does research and they click on any videos that are in our inspection sheets, they're on our website. So if they get lost and wander, they're wandering in our website. In the future, when they come back for recommended service and things like that, the same videos are used to go ahead and show them.
They've been pre-sold almost. If they don't take the service, but they actually viewed the video, they recognized the functionality, the severity of the potential problem. You've softened them to the point where it is not hard to do that second sale or to get that decline to work. And I'm not saying softened is a negative thing. I'm just saying
educated.
Sometimes people need to be sold. They need to be explained. I love it. Educate. Joe, customers, the amount of information that you have on the inspection and the information on the vehicle and the previous work that was done, do they come in and say, how do you know all this about my car? Are they happy to make I-70 their preferred shop? I mean, they want to go nowhere else. Lifetime customer?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what we talk about, I mean, we're showing our customers that we love them, that we care about them. By this is their means of transportation. They don't want to be stranded in any way. And when we give them these pictures and very detailed information, it means that we care about them. And one thing that I wanted to add to what Uwe said earlier about how this gives back, gives time to the advisor. For people that have a lot of fleet accounts, once you go through that process with the fleet account manager once, normally, we don't have to have any discussions with them. You know, four ROs down the line with them, we just submit everything to us. They tell us what they need to do through email, text, and away we go. So it gives back the advisor a lot more time to work with a specific new customer. And once you teach them the same thing, this is how we do it. We're having people that, as Bill said earlier, we're not communicating with it, the transaction, until we're taking their credit card over the phone, or we're delivering the car back to them and swiping their card over our cell phone.
Boomers okay with this? Baby boomers?
I believe in our shop, I believe that's their preferred method of doing it. They've got other things to do in life rather than, you know, sitting at the shop and things like that.
Yeah.
And they just seem to be very accepting of it.
We basically opted in or asked to opt in into text messages for 10,000 of motorists throughout the Autovitals network. The opt-out rate was 14%. 14. That tells you the story.
Very, very, very much accepted. By the way, my comment on fleet, you know, I did a great academy a few weeks back on fleet. Anybody's really got to see that to grow their business. And to talk about going and sitting down with a fleet and showing them your whole digital shop piece video. I mean, take them, walk them through, let them see what we're doing. To me, that almost would close the deal today for the people.
You can go one step further than that, because we can take an inspection sheet and we can configure it specifically for their needs to help them with compliance. So we're not limited, like some inspection systems only having one sheet. We can go ahead and make one specifically for a particular fleet that wants to go ahead and have, you know, certain lights or certain equipment inspected certain ways and so on. And you know, we need to go to them and find out what their needs are and then go ahead and put together a program specifically to solve them.
One more thing I learned from a fleet customer, blew me away because I had no idea to what extent it can go, is this service advisor doesn't know who the fleet manager is, because it changes at every interaction. They have a bunch of fleet managers sitting in an office. The ability to send digital information creates transparency no matter who the fleet manager is, right? That was awesome.
Just recently, we do a lot of fleet work, so we deal with fleet companies, so E-Plan. So this vehicle needed struts on it, of transit, and they denied it. We took pictures of it and sent it off to the owner of the company. A couple hours later, we got authorization to put struts and springs on it. Because the E-Plan company, they didn't want to, you know, they didn't want to authorize it. But man, when you can send pictures and videos, it was authorized and taken care of. So another huge benefit of it.
Was it a point where it wasn't safe? It was leaking?
Well, had alignment issues. So it came in, the employee, and they're overweighted, but the employee was complaining, this thing's going off to the right all on its own. And it only had 50-something thousand miles on it, had too much weight in it. But when we disassembled it and we set the new spring to the old spring down, you could see the difference in it, you know. When we were all done with it, aligned it up, give it back to the customer, happy as can be. But that video and that picture was the right thing to do. And the owner of the company trumped the company that he's paying to make decisions for him.
Back in the day when there was no digital guys, Bill, Joe, did you ever forget a car in the lot?
I'm sure it's happened. I can't remember of it, but probably did.
We've never had that particular problem, because we used to manage all that on an Excel spreadsheet, and it was kind of like moving things around.
You're amazing. I have to stop right now and tell you that you are. I mean, I saw him yesterday, and all these systems and processes and things that you have and videos that you're doing. I mean, there were people in the audience looking at you saying, how does he do it? You're amazing. By the way, he's from Western New York, Bill is. And, you know,
we've stomped on the same dirt.
Yes, we have. Two towns over. And Angola, New York, by the way. So it's good to have a fellow countryman here in the studio, Bill. The seventh touch point is follow-up. To me, that's almost, you know, that tightens up the circle. What are you guys both doing in that touch point? What do you do for follow-up, Bill?
So as far as how we address that is, every customer, when it leaves, we set a date on our, we call it exit scheduling. We set a date, and then 3 or 4 days later, it pops up on the screen to call back to make sure everything we did met their level of expectations. We talk to them when they're leaving about, we're going to send you a survey to, if there's any reason why you can't rate us at the highest level, please let us know. But, you know, fill out the survey regardless. We appreciate it. We exit schedule. Anything that the technician found today has already been estimated and presented to the customer. If the customer didn't do it today, we don't worry about it because we have a system in place to go and follow up on it. And when they come in the next time, that's the first thing we ask them. These are the things that you didn't do last time. Has anything changed? If something has been done somewhere else, just let us know. We'll take it off. If not, while you're here, we're going to go ahead and see what the change in that system and component was and go down that particular path.
Your follow-up, Joe.
I mean, we follow up with our customers right off the bat in thank you stuff, emails immediately. We do handwritten thank yous, and then we do a follow-up phone call of their experience every Monday. Service advisor comes in and makes all those phone calls. I mean, and that's just done to every customer.
Would you do anything different in implementing this?
We're actually, I couldn't say that I would do things differently. I know that when I train shops to go and implement now, I tell them that there's a 12-step process to go ahead and do it. I'm kind of different because we actually grew with the system with UVA and Auto Vitals, you know, all the way from inspections only all the way through the whole process. But I would tell them today to go ahead and follow the 12-step process, follow the MSOP that Auto Vitals has with the steps involved and so on, and then go ahead and get involved with coming to our digital shop talk forum, searching, and if something's not there, don't be bashful. Ask the question and let your peers go ahead and guide you down through that process.
Joe, how about you? Would you do anything different on how you implemented?
I mean, it's been a work in progress always, you know, and I mean, we're still...
And is it because of the flexibility of the system and that you're continuing to add your own features to it?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're constantly adding things to it as the technicians or the advisors, you know, find needed areas. So we're always, looking at updating and adding to it. To give the customer the, you know, their best experience because it's all about them.
Yesterday, you went so interesting into all the different forms that you have. What's your tell our audience your favoritest form or one you just created so that I want our listener to get an idea of what they could do and the creativity that exists.
Any of the inspection form we have would be my favorite for one. But what we've done is we went a little step further to go ahead and make sure that we have consistency through the shop. So to go ahead and develop a topic on an inspection sheet where the condition is touch friendly for the technician, they don't have to type anything, to go ahead and make it to where they can press a button and actually give the suggested job to the service advisor.
Oh, I see. So instead of typing, you're really basically learning from your text and saying, let's come up with a standard line of verbiage.
We have a dynamic tool, and we view it that way. Things are constantly changing in the industry, so our inspection sheets are also. The other thing we've done is taken one step further, and we have a video for the technician embedded right at that topic level explaining how to go ahead and fill out the topic, what type of videos and pictures are acceptable. We can also go ahead and use it as a training tool for a younger technician coming on board. You know, this is how a voltage drop should be done on the positive circuit and negative circuit. This is what, you know, how to go ahead and check for parasitic draw. But it's all about going ahead and building consistency so that way, no matter who is doing the job or task, the results are predictable and explainable to the consumer.
This goes beyond, I think, what most people believe can happen, and especially by having the videos in there. And if somebody was doing diagnostician, just doing real heavy work and saying, hey, listen, we're really buried. Can you help us with this inspection? And they don't do it often enough. What you're saying is you've got the tools to guide that the process is consistent and is right every time.
I guess I would take it one step further is that our population of technicians is aging. We've got a certain amount of them that are retiring and so on. So we can go and take that combined knowledge that they have today and actually use it to go ahead and educate the younger people that we have coming in also. So we've got a, you know, a skilled labor shortage, so to say. So before these older gentlemen go ahead and exit out, you know, to me it's a way to go ahead and capture that combined knowledge and go ahead and repurpose it to be used permanently.
What we observe, since the digital shop allows to measure everything, we observe things we had never thought are possible or make us think differently. So I give you one example. There are many CRM systems out there, and I believe everybody would agree with me that sending out a service reminder and create service reminders which have a high effectiveness, meaning lots of people open them and make an appointment, is a challenge in the whole industry, no matter the vendor, right? And for us, it was always a little weird, because weird in so far that customers are interested in the health of their vehicle. They're not neglecting their car on purpose. So what is it in this whole system which makes opening rate of only 20% of emails happen, right? And we believe it's the relevance of the information sent out 6 months after the last visit, 9 months after the last visit, right? Joe does call campaigns, awesome. There are not a lot of shops doing that, right? So what we think the digital shop is enabling is, once you have shown the customer there is transparency in a touch point of drop-off, approval, and pickup, you set expectations that in your service reminder now you can get the same richness of information about your car. Does that make sense? So the relevance of the information, which was already proven in approval when the car was in the shop, we just continue providing by using the inspection reports from the declined job from the last visit and put it in the service reminder.
You're keeping engagement high.
Exactly. So I can tell you, when we introduced the workflow status notification, think of it as the Domino's pizza of auto repair, right? So you can follow the progress of the car. We measured 65% opening rate for text and email by motorists. That's the highest engagement of any digital communication with customers. 65% and more. And it happens automatically through our tool. But because at drop-off, there is expectation management, expect the inspection to be done, we text you then, and so on. You have the motorist waiting for the information.
Okay, so you explained about the engaging with the customer more often. And right. Do you have to create a personal discipline inside the company to do that? Or do you have software that kicks at a certain date or time?
Use the workflow management tool and the rest is taken care of.
Oh, I got it. Okay. So there is a built-in process. You just got to manage it.
You just got to manage it.
For the shop owner, it's a set it and forget it.
Okay. So you've done that, Bill?
That's correct. What we've done is, using the software, we've decided exactly which workflow step we want the automated message to go out on. We've went ahead and went into the software and said, this is what we want to happen. This is the type of message that we want to send. And when the service advisor drops it on that particular workflow step, it just happens automatically. So again, it's something that is set and is happening consistently each and every time.
Revenue growth. I mean, is this all, you can see it in your numbers?
Sure. Yep.
Would you love to tell us anything without breaching confidentialities? Carm, we're up 40% this year because of this?
What I would like to go ahead and say is that every management company out there preaches about not just car count, but making every car count. And this is the process to make that happen.
Bingo.
And I'll add to it, Carm, yesterday I didn't get to share this, but I have a whole new pretty much staff. When I started this, we had boomers and a millennials and advisor. Today we have all millennials. I'm the boomer.
And smart boomer.
Yeah. This last year, implementing this with the millennials, our average RO went up $68. Efficiency went up 7.5%. Productivity at 3%. And we watch those numbers, and all of those numbers are at the high of the industry level. So, I mean, this works, and they're, like, as I said earlier, I mean, the reviews, I would say that one out of every three Google reviews has something to say about the inspection process that they get. And that's tremendous.
Oh, you couldn't ask for anything more.
Yeah.
You know, I learned a ton of stuff here. We can go on for 2 hours, I think. But I want to thank Uwe Kleinschmidt, CEO, founder, AutoVitals. Joe Seifert, I-70. Why did I say I-90? Oh, that's Bill Nalu. I-70 Auto Service, Kansas City, Missouri. And Bill Connor, GM, Craig's Auto Care in Allen, Texas. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you, Con.
Thank you for having
thank
us.
Thank you, Uwe.
Hey, thank you, Joe, Bill, and Uwe, for your insights on the digital shop. Now, I know the industry appreciates you going on record to discuss this very timely and hot topic, and for your trailblazing efforts to implement the paperless all-digital shop. And special thanks to Uwe Kleinschmidt, AutoVitals CEO, and his team for allowing me access to his conference and for the great hospitality shown not only to me, but to all your guests. And thank you for tuning in. There's no better resource in the audio realm for aftermarket professionals like Remarkable Results Radio. Hey, don't forget the catalog of wisdom is there for you, from the Tag Cloud to the specific series to the well-cataloged archives. Your learning curve never sounded so good.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.